Those harmonies. That was beautiful. Oh, yes. If the kids are in the building, they can actually head back now to their kids' classes. Thank you for bringing them in this morning. Well, this morning, just in the last 10, 15 minutes we have remaining, I'd just like to share just from God's word with you, just to encourage you this morning to do exactly as the song has actually said, and that is to look to the Lord this morning, because there is none like him. You know, our earthly fathers will fail us. There's no doubt about it. You know, our earthly fathers are imperfect, and at times they will mess up. They will make mistakes. But we look to the Lord this morning, don't we? As the Father of all fathers is our Heavenly Father. And but just before we get into God's word this morning, just a quick announcement, and that is that the funeral service for Jess Knight will be here this Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And Jess passed away last week. That is Lily's husband, and also Josie and Jonathan's dad passed away just suddenly last week, Friday evening. And we will be having his funeral service here on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. in the youth chapel. So if you'd like to join us for that, to celebrate his life and to come and support Lily, Jonathan, and Josie, you're welcome to join us on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. And light refreshments will be served afterwards in the foyer as well. So just our deepest sympathies go out to Josie and Jonathan and Lily this morning, which I'm sure is a difficult day for them, being Father's Day. And we just want you to know that we love you guys and we're here to support you through this. Well, this morning, I'm blessed to have my own dad here. Most of you know him as Pastor Pete. I don't know him as that. I just know him as Dad. The guy I call when my car breaks down, when I've broken things. It's actually great to have my brother-in-law Brad here, because most of the things I break are his, actually. Most of my life I've loaned Brad's things and broken them. But sorry, Brad. His car, surfboards, skateboards. Anyway, he forgives. Thank God that he's a forgiving dude, Brad. It's great. Light longer list. Remember that day I ramped his RAV4 off the riverbank into the river and completely wrote it off? That was a difficult day. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yeah, I own my longboard, skateboard, which I reversed over with his own car. But anyway, maybe next Father's Day, Brad, we'll organize something. But isn't it great to be surrounded by people, you know, that we honor and respect? And this morning, my father-in-law, Priscilla's dad, is here. Daniel, Pastor Daniel, as many of you know him as well. And it's great to have dads in the building, fathers here this morning, even to see, you know, Aldane dedicate his daughter to the Lord, Alara. Just a beautiful moment. Hayden's here as well as a grandfather. And just a beautiful moment in the life, in our lives, just having men, particularly on this day, that we look to for inspiration, that we respect and we honor. And as I said earlier, today is a difficult day for many. But despite that, our main focus this morning is actually on our Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's interesting this morning that Maritha read that our Father's, the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. Because when I woke up this morning, it's what I read. Did anyone else read that this morning? I know my dad did. He read that this morning. I woke up and read it this morning as well for some reason. Matthew chapter 6. 9 to 13, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And when I read that this morning during my quiet time, I was in the man cave and being manly, you know, as I do. Hang out in the man cave, I come out there more manly. But I was in the man cave, which is my garage, which I throw all my junk in, and I just call it my man cave. But I was in there and I was just praying, and I read that scripture and I changed my message. I was like, oh Lord, I don't really need to change my message. It's Father's Day. I haven't got time for this. But anyway, I changed it slightly this morning, basing it on the Lord's Prayer. I'd like to read it to you just quickly. Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Jesus, how do we pray? They don't say, teach us how to pray. They say, how do we pray? What does Jesus say? He starts with, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this next part, which is not in scripture anywhere, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We've just added that on just to finish it off nicely. But when I read this morning, I was just interested to note, how did Jesus interact with God? How did Jesus interact with God? If you think about it, right? If you read all the way through the Gospels, in almost 90% of the times when Jesus ever spoke to God, he actually addressed him as Father. Isn't that interesting? I wrote this down. He could have said something like this, for example, our, take out the Father. He could have said, all-powerful creator of the universe, omnipotent, omnipresent, maker of heaven and earth, ruler of all things, El Shaddai, the Almighty One, Supreme One, the one who knows all and is all and knows the future, knows the past. Did he address him like that? No, he didn't, did he? He uses a beautiful word. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. A word which has become to, in our culture today, a little bit misunderstood in many ways, but Jesus, in 90% of occasions, when he ever addresses God, he speaks to him as Father. All of his ministry comes out of that relationship that he has with his Father. He says in many times through Scripture, you know, I only do the things I see my Father doing. I only say the things I hear my Father saying to me. So Jesus ministered out of his relationship. His identity was very much based on his relationship with his Father. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Father God, wasn't he, when he came to this earth? I'd like to read you a quote this morning from a Bible commentator, Matthew Henry. He says this on this issue: we must address ourselves to him as our Father and must call him so. He's a common father to all mankind by creation. He is in a special manner a father to the saints by adoption and regeneration, an unspeakable privilege it is. It actually says in John chapter 1 verse 12 that, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them right to become children of God. So not through natural birth, but through, he's adopted us into his family. I love that. Matthew Henry, you know, from a couple hundred years ago says, thus we must eye him in prayer. Keep up good thoughts of him, such as are encouraging and not affrighting. Nothing more pleasing to God nor pleasant to ourselves than to call God Father. Christ in prayer most called God Father. If he be our Father, he will pity us under our weaknesses and infirmities, will spare us and make the best of our performances, though very deficient, will deny us nothing that is good for us. We have access with boldness to him as to a father, and have an advocate with the Father and the Spirit of adoption. When we come repenting of our sins, we must eye God as Father, as the prodigal did when he came begging for grace and peace and the inheritance and blessings of sons. It is an encouragement that we come to God not as unreconciled, avenging judge, but as a loving, gracious, reconciled Father in Christ. That's who our God is. Yes, he is all those other things. Yes, he is El Shaddai. He is our provider. He is omnipresent. He is at all places at all time. He is all those. He's supremely powerful. We know all those things. But Jesus uses this word Father to speak to him. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus does in teaching us how to pray. So he says, for us, how do we pray? We address him as our Father. My second point was, you know, maybe some of us here in this room this morning may feel even uncomfortable praying that prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. Maybe it's because of bad experiences you had with your own father. Maybe you had an absent father. Maybe your father sacrificed much for you to provide for you, but he just wasn't there. Maybe you hold that, like maybe you have some lingering thoughts this morning about your dad. Maybe you yourself
carry shame in your own heart because maybe you think you're a failure as a father. Maybe because of your fears about the future, you struggle to put your trust in Father God this morning. Maybe that's true to you this morning. Maybe you say, I can't pray our Father in heaven. I can't relate to God in that way. Can I encourage you this morning that you can get to know the Lord, and it's simply through speaking to Him every day. Amen? Through reading His Word, through having that communion with Him, you can get to know Him. It always blows my mind to think that I can get to know God. Doesn't it blow your mind to think that? I remember when I was younger, I'd wake up like early in the morning sometimes, and the rest of the house was sleeping. And like in my 6-year-old or 7-year-old brain, I'd think, if I pray now, God will just hear me because everyone else is sleeping. I was living in South Africa. The rest of South Africa is sleeping right now. I didn't think about all the other people in different time frames. But anyway, I used to think, if I pray now, God will just hear me. No one else. Okay, Lord, thank you for today. Help me with my cricket game. Lord, please tell my sister to be nice to me and share her things. And not kick me. But I did this when I was young. And I'd pray and say, Lord, everyone else is sleeping. You can hear me. And when I think about it now, it was silly, but at the time, I felt that God actually heard me. And God does hear our prayers, doesn't He, when we pray. When we reach out to Him, the Word says that He hears our prayer. Not only does He hear our prayer, but He acts on our prayer. Listen to this quote. Understanding the fatherhood of God begins with learning to be truly, extravagantly, and tenaciously loved by God. To extend His love, to understand His love, we actually need to receive His love. In two occasions we see in Scripture, and I'll just finish with this morning. On two occasions in the life of Jesus, we read of God announcing to the world His pleasure in His Son. The first time we read this is in Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Sam. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, when Jesus was baptized, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by Him. John would have prevented Him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He consented. This is John the Baptist. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, there's only two times in Scripture we hear this voice coming from heaven to Jesus. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that beautiful? God from heaven above speaks audibly, saying that He loves His Son and that He is pleased with His Son. You know, to be honest, I personally love being a dad. I do. I find it one of the biggest joys in my life, coming home each day after work, and there my boys are, mostly, you know, sitting on the couch or doing something, not really helping out a lot, but they are getting better. But anyway, that's another story. I look forward to seeing them. I really do. I genuinely look forward to asking, so how was your day? You know, how was soccer training today? Like, how did you go? Did you score any goals? Or Josh, how did you go in your defense? Sam's a goalkeeper. I genuinely do enjoy speaking to them about their day. Like, I'm the linesman in my boys' soccer team because no other dads don't want to take up the role as a linesman. No one wants that job. You get abused by the other parents. My parents love me because I make the right calls. But the other parents, man, they abuse me and they say things every Saturday morning. But I'm there with my little flag and, offside, mate, you know. And some of the parents are like, oh, that's a wrong call. I say, all right, mate, you have a crack then, eh? You have a go then, yeah, sweet, you have a go. If you know better than me, sweet, you have a go at it. Okay, that's all good. But I love being involved in my boys' lives. Why am I a linesman? Not because I want to run up and down the line on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. But I want to be involved. I love it. I love being involved in their lives. I really do. I really enjoy it. I love taking my boys to the beach and camping. It's a tradition in our family. We go camping once a year to Shane's Beach every Easter. We've never missed the Easter for the last, how many years, Dad? My dad started that and we followed along, and now we do it every Easter. We're there. Shane's Beach. We started that tradition in our family. I love that. And I was thinking this thought, right? I'm not saying this just to share my experience, but I was thinking the amount of pleasure that, you know, my boys, when I think about them, the amount of joy they bring into my life. Imagine if I think that about my boys, right? Imagine how much the Lord thinks that about His children. If I can only do that in a small way, in my own human-minded way, how much more does God, our Heavenly Father, think wonderful and beautiful thoughts, and He's so proud and takes pleasure in us. Isn't that humbling? As a human father, I take so much pleasure in seeing my kids living their lives and enjoying their lives. How much more does my Heavenly Father think that of you and of me this morning? I love that thought. It says that God took pleasure. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, it's good, fathers, to tell our sons that we are pleased in them. It's good for us to do that. That they know that we are well pleased with them. Even though they're not perfect, they make mistakes, we must continually encourage them that way. And secondly, the second time we see this is at the transfiguration. We know that moment with Jesus. For a moment, we see His spiritual body. He's transfigured, that word metamorphosized. He's changed from His human body to His spiritual body, which He has now up in heaven. And for that moment, the three disciples, they get to see Jesus in that way. And then a voice comes from heaven. What is that voice? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." That's what God booms from heaven in His godly voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John chapter 3 tells us the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. We see that story of the prodigal son, how the father, even after the son has messed up and squandered his inheritance, the father still loves him. The father, he's the father of second chances. Amen. I love that. I love that through this, through the love of the Father, we have identity. Through the love of the Father, we can feel accepted. And lastly, that we have His approval. We have His approval as we feel His love. He loves us unconditionally. Amen. Isn't that good to know this morning as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father? In closing this morning, I'd like to read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. He says this, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." And that's Paul speaking about how this happens. It's through us bowing our knee, bringing our lives under the authority of the Father. That's what repentance is, isn't it? It's bringing your life under a new authority. Not under the authority of the world any longer, but now you choose. After the Spirit does a work in your heart, repentance is bringing your life under this new God-given authority. And mainly we know that through God's Word, don't we? Bring our lives under God's Word. So this morning, everyone here, can I encourage you? The Lord loves you. Your Father, when you pray, know that He loves you. Know that He thinks good thoughts of you, even in your darkest of times. Amen. We can have hope to know that this morning. I think about that thief on the cross. My dad mentioned this at Julie Brown's funeral service on Friday. You know, the thief on the cross, the murderer on the cross. Was murderer? Yeah. In that last moment before he died, you know, he speaks to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In his last moment before he dies, God has mercy and grace upon his life. That's the same Father that we serve this morning. Amen. A Father who's looking for us to draw near to him. Why don't we pray together? Lord, this morning, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. You are our heavenly Father because you are from heaven above. And Lord, this morning we look to you, our heavenly Father. We thank you for our earthly fathers. But Lord, this morning we want to thank you, Lord, that you are our heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Oh Lord, we look to you this morning for our identity, for our acceptance and our approval. We don't look to any man on this earth, but we look to you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we honor you this morning. Hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives and all for the dads here this morning. Let your will be done through our lives, even with our families, Lord. We ask God, give us wisdom to lead our families, Lord, lead our children. Oh God, we need you. We can't do this in our own strength, Lord. Only in your strength, Lord, can we lead. And God, as you lead and guide us, Lord, we know that. And oh Lord, I pray for the fathers here for a special blessing to be upon them today. Lord, dads, these days we carry so much, along with the mums too. But as dads, Lord, we carry so much expectation. And Lord, sometimes that expectation, Lord, it overcomes us. But we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Your word says that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for that this morning, God. And Lord, we commit our lives to you today. We thank you, Lord, that we are loved by you, accepted by you. You were approved by you, Lord. We thank you for your love this morning for us. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone at Heart City Church said, amen.